Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. And here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight, as radiation readings soar on the West Coast, InfoWars sends a team to report what the mainstream media won't. Regardless of the source, what does it mean for you and your family's health? All that and more, and live reports from the West Coast on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, by now I'm sure you've all seen the viral video on YouTube where a citizen journalist took his Geiger counter to a beach in San Francisco and recorded background radiation over five times the safe level. Days after the YouTube video emerged, health officials in San Mateo County confirmed the spike. However, they dismissed the possibility that the high levels of radiation are linked to Fukushima radiation reaching the West Coast. And don't forget that experts have concluded that the radioactive plume from the nuclear accident in March 2011 will reach the U.S. coast by early 2014. So the question is, has Fukushima's radioactive wave already hit California? Now, in a new development, an electrical engineer who's designed Geiger counters over the past 40 years, well, he took his own measurements in San Francisco and found hot spots that are a staggering 14 times the normal background radiation. And for more on this, we go to InfoWars reporter Jakari Jackson and crew who are live on the scene in San Francisco, equipped with their very own Geiger counters. And Jakari, what do you make of all this? I mean, we don't know whether or not the radiation hotspots are because of Fukushima, but we do know that the radiation levels are up, and that is indeed a fact. And that would pose a significant health risk, don't you think?
Oh, definitely so. And you said it so beautifully, so poignantly, because even if we don't know this is from Fukushima, if it's naturally occurring, it's still way higher than what it normally should be. And Darren, I just want to direct your attention briefly to the beautiful Golden Gate Bridge standing right here behind me. It is absolutely beautiful. We have our crew down there on the rocks. They're doing their various readings at this moment. And from what I'm told, Adon, we still have 15 microrens. Is that correct? 15 microrens. And also, what's the CPMs? The crew is checking out our equipment here on the Geiger count. About 42 CPM. And you guys can go to Paul Joseph Watson's article for what all those facts and figures mean. But Darren, yes, this is something that people need to know about. As beautiful as this day is, there's definitely a health risk associated that's going on these various beaches. Not so much here, but in the other area that we were at earlier today, we definitely saw some high numbers there.
Now, I want to talk about the guy who designed his own Geiger counters over the past 40 years. Because he says he's never seen anything quite like this. He's very alarmed by the measurements that were recently taken. He's even warned everybody to stay away from the beach. Meanwhile, authorities are telling people that it's completely harmless. And, you know, we've been lied to before. I just want to know, do you trust the authorities, Jakari, when they say that there's nothing to worry about right now?
Well, if you think back, Darren, on 9/11, they said the dust was safe to breathe. That was the EPA. Then it came out, obviously, that was not the case. Many people came down with many illnesses from the 9/11 dust. And I can't say that's exactly what's going on here. But, you know, take it with a grain of salt. They say it's okay. Well, maybe it's okay for a little bit. You don't want to spend all your time out here swimming in it. Definitely not. And I definitely want anybody who's in this area to take that into account before they go jump in these waters.
Well, I tell you what really got my attention recently, and that is the fact that the federal government, they're acting like they're preparing for some sort of nuclear emergency right now. Because we now know that the Department of Health and Human Services, for example, they just ordered an unprecedented 14 million doses of potassium iodide, which, you know, protects the body in the event of radioactive poisoning. So the federal government, they are already acting as if there's been a severe nuclear accident. Does that concern you as much as it does me?
Oh, yes. It concerns me not only as a journalist, but as a just general citizen. Now, of course, I don't live here in this beautiful state of California. We are in Austin, Texas. But regardless of where you are, this stuff spreads. It's not just going to stay here on the California coast, whatever this radiation is, whether it's Fukushima, whether it's other types of radiation, these things spread. So you definitely need to be aware of that. And on that note that you made, Anthony Gucciardi called those guys up and they hung up on them because they didn't want to talk about why they're ordering so much of this, of these materials.
Well, tell us about, you took your own Geiger counters out there. What have you guys found out thus far on your trip?
Well, the first place we went where the YouTube was, the viral YouTube video, that was the highest levels. When we have a video out, or it will be out shortly on Infowars.com and also on the Alex Jones YouTube page. But here, they're not as high, but there's still things to be concerned about, and we'll continue moving, Darren. I want to tell you a little bit about what we have planned. We're going to move completely up the coast. We're going to move pretty far here tonight, and we'll see you guys tomorrow, and also all the way up into Washington. So we're going to be going to various power plants, various beaches, and different locations to give you guys the best readings.
What's your final destination? Where does the road trip end?
We're going to go up to Seattle, then fly back down to Southern California. I think we're going to hit L.A. and a few other spots around there and end in San Diego, then come back.
And we will continue to get updates from Jakari Jackson and the crew as they continue to travel up the Pacific coast and investigate what's really going on with the alarming radiation spikes that are occurring all throughout that area. Now be sure to check in with Infowars.com and listen to the Alex Jones Show this week and next for continued updates. By the way, just got word from the Japanese Ministry of the Environment. They are actually considering a citywide evacuation near Fukushima as thyroid cancer rates among Japanese children in the area have finally reached epidemic levels. We're going to take a quick break. The InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be right back.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the teleprompter-free InfoWars Nightly News. Up next, we have a special report from David Knight, who wants to know who is really in control of the presidential puppet, who is Barack Hussein Obama.
Everyone's talking about Michael Bay's meltdown at the Consumer Electronics Show. He abruptly walked off stage when his teleprompter failed.
Hollywood is a place that creates a viewer escape. And what I try to do is I try to The type is all off, sorry, but I'll just wing this.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Now, he's a director, he's not a professional presenter or an actor, and it doesn't really matter to anybody other than Samsung that that failed, but it matters very much if our political leaders are reading off of a script. All politicians have used teleprompters from time to time, but Obama has become so dependent on them that when there's a failure, like there was with Michael Bay, Obama becomes speechless.
I mean, oh, goodness.
Yeah, the president needs, I don't know if he has it, he always needs the script in his hands or in front of
him. Like what we have right
here.
Right.
Obama's speeches are controlled events, and that control flows through the teleprompter.
Well, I think a lot of the problem he had today was the late afternoon sun in Berlin, I think, ruined his use of the teleprompters. And so his usual dramatic windup was ruined. I think he was really struggling with the text there.
Obama's public persona is so controlled that he won't even address a group of elementary students without a teleprompter.
Well, it's nice to see everybody.
I am pleased to be joined today by my outstanding education secretary, Arnie Duncan, at Graham Road Elementary School.
What's troubling about teleprompters and Obama is that it shows he's a tightly controlled actor. We know that Michael Bay was reading a script to sell Samsung products, but who are the corporate sponsors who are writing Obama's teleprompter script? Who's really in control of this puppet?
It is wonderful to see all of you, and I want to thank everybody who's here. I think there's only one problem, and that is that my remarks are not sitting here. People, you know, things by Friday afternoon, things get a little challenged.
We don't use teleprompters here at InfoWars. My take is going to be different from other reporters, even from Alex's take on some issues. And we want to be honest and transparent with you, unlike our teleprompter president.
I know that uninsured Americans
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Jakari Jackson sits down and talks with Fast and Furious victim Ian Garland, and he tells his amazing story about his abuse at the hands of the federal government. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one. The InfoWars Nightly News will return right after this, so stick around.
I'll be honest with you. We're at a major crossroads. My radio show has almost become passé for many because all of the incredibly radical-sounding things that we've talked about the last 18 years on air are now public knowledge. Almost everything we've discussed is now being reported by mainstream. As this tyranny is admitted, as Congress has hearings about Obama being a dictator, basically, if we don't educate the general public about this now, and explain to them that if the precedent is set for the office of the presidency to be dictatorial and autocratic, that will be passed on to future generations. And that's why the new January 2014 edition of InfoWars magazine is now out. And I think it's probably the best cover we have ever had. We see Obama as the classical third world dictator, and that basically is what he is becoming. And there are five different articles about the transference of power and the degeneration of our republic into a bureaucratic dictatorship with the president as the dictatorial head. There's a bunch of other gun control articles, NSA stories. I'm really proud of the first issue of 2014. Guaranteed, two or three people that you hand them to will end up reading it. And even if somebody else doesn't read it, they'll leave it laying somewhere and somebody else will read it. This is a very effective way to wake people up. It's a great tool. Instead of costing $10, $15, $20 like a book, you can get it as low as a dollar a piece in bulk to get out to your friends and family. So that's InfoWarsStore.com to subscribe to the final year of subscriptions, and you can always continue to buy them in bulk at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
And welcome back.
We know about the deeds of the ATF. We know about the death of Brian Terry. We know about the guns going to Mexican drug cartels. Now there's a new chapter. Ian Garland, a gun shop owner, reported deeds to the ATF, and they did nothing. He reported not only to the ATF, but to the FBI and other agencies, proof that this system is not designed to work, proof of selective enforcement. He joins us now to tell us an incredible story that you will only hear here. Thanks for joining us, Ian.
Thank you.
All right, now for our viewers who are not familiar with your case, can you tell us a little bit about how you came involved with the ATF?
Yes, I opened a, I moved from California to Chaparral, New Mexico, which is right next to El Paso, and I opened a gun store here in Chaparral and in El Paso, Texas. I was part owner of a gun store, and I started making sales, doing okay, and then I had some government officials from the city of Columbus one day come and buy several firearms. They filled out the appropriate paperwork and passed the background checks, and then they came back a month later and wanted to buy 10. And I said, well, what do you want 10 for? They said, we need them for our family protection along the border there, some for other officers. They buy, sell, trade them. And I'd already checked with the ATF, and that was okay. So I filled out the appropriate paperwork again. They all passed the background check. That was the mayor, the police chief, the trustee, and a couple of other people there associated with them. And a month later, they'll come and buy some more, then they'll leave it for a couple of months. And when you buy more than one firearm, I have to fill out a multiple reporting form. And I did that from day one. One copy goes to the ATF, one goes to the local sheriff, and, of course, you call in the FBI background check. So I notified three different agencies for 18 months, and basically they knew from the start these guys were smuggling, what they were up to as far back as 2007. And they let me continue, told me to keep selling three times. And next minute, I'm indicted on weapons charges of straw purchase. And I said, well, who did I sell straw purchase to? Aiding and abetting. And they said, well, you let him buy for the police officer. I'm like, well, what does that matter? I'd already checked with the ATF. You said that's not a straw purchase. A straw purchase is when you buy for someone who can't.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And then here I am today. They lied in the indictment. They lied at the trial. Well, the plea. And I fought it because these weren't machine guns, and also they used the wrong sentencing guideline book. That's very important. Not only did they lie about the machine guns, they had court documents where they did lie about the wrong sentencing guideline book. And every attorney I've spoken to said that wasn't a lie. They did it on purpose and thought they could get away with it. And Mr. Todd Coberly from Santa Fe, an attorney who stuck with me and fought this, won my freedom on Friday the 13th. And then I was homeless for 5 days walking around Las Cruces, which was unbelievable. I mean, they kicked me out in the street. I had no phone, no money, no car, no clothes, no ID. Oh, this just gets better.
So let me ask you this, Ian. When you actually went into custody, did you have any property on you?
No, they took it all.
So well, my question is, did you have any property that needed to be returned to you upon your release?
Oh, yes. Okay. The only property I have is my laptop. A GPS, which my wife bought me for a Christmas present. I have my camera, and I also have some CDs of our wedding photos. We were married on July 4th, 2007, and they won't give them back. And no one can tell me why. I mean, this is like 3 years now. When can I have my things back? I don't have much left.
So they still haven't supplied you with the devices, the personal effects that you had when you went in?
Oh, yeah, I have nothing. The clothes I was wearing, they're gone. They threw them out.
Wow. This is a horrible story, Ian, and I do regret that we don't have a whole lot of time to go into all the intricate details of it. But I just want to show that our viewers that you're a law-abiding guy. You know, you're doing the background checks, you're doing your due diligence, and I also have information that you actually reported some straw purchases and some other activities that you saw illegally at a gun show.
Absolutely. I complained of what was going on at gun shows, how these people were selling to minors, and everybody and anybody, and they had signs on their table saying no paperwork, no background check, and I had complained to the ATF and said this is not right, and ATF tell me, oh, well, that's legal. I'm like, okay, so my customers come to me and say they want to go to gun shows, trade, buy, sell, collect. What did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, Ian, now we know about straw purchases. We know about private gun sales. Can you explain to us the difference between having a background check with a purchase of a firearm versus with the illegal activity that you witnessed?
Well, I do my background check. It's a 4473 form. The person has to fill it out, name, birthday, social security number, et cetera. And I call them into the National Background Check Center. as the FBI, and they give me a yes or no, and they give you a number that you put on the form and it's kept for your record, and you write down the registration number of the firearm, and away the person goes. And apparently in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, that person can walk out the door and make a private sale, and then that firearm is off the books forever. And a private sale, as I said, you can sell to anybody, and the firearm can end up anywhere. And, well, they do. You know, I've seen guns change 5 times through private sales within an hour.
Oh. Well, Ian. No, go ahead.
Excuse me. Sorry. I had one guy try to bribe me. I called it Leo incident, and it was well documented by El Paso ATF. He wanted to buy 2 firearms off me. I refused because it wasn't his ID. It was expired. And when I refused, he tried to bribe me $3,000 and the sale price of the firearms. And I said, no, we can't do that. And he left. After trying multiple times, he tried to bribe me that day. I said, no. So I called the police. I made a report. And then the guy follows me to a gun show again. And he just wouldn't leave me alone. Finally, the ATF got involved. Cut a long story short, they said I did an undercover sting, which was documented by the ATF. They got the guy. 2 weeks later, I'm down in my El Paso shop. Guess who walks in? Same guy.
Same guy.
I questioned the ATF about it, and they lied to my face. They said, yes, we got the guy. It led to something bigger. We can't talk about it. Thank you very much. I'm like, you guys lied to me.
Oh, yeah.
You wonder why in the end I didn't want to talk to you?
Exactly, because you know as well as everybody else about the ATF Fast and Furious scandal, which you already alluded to, how they're giving guns to Mexican drug cartels, but you, the private seller, the business owner, doing all your sales legally and lawfully, they want to target you. Now, Ian, I want to talk a little bit about your incarceration with the time we have left. You were incarcerated in solitary confinement for over 400 days. Is that correct?
Correct. 473 days.
Wow.
In a small cell, freezing, sitting in raw sewage, cleaning it up with my underwear and hands. Not once, not twice, multiple times, while they sat there and laughed. And that was at Las Cruces and at CCA in Estancia. I tell you, if my mother could see that, that would kill her. That was unbelievable how I was treated.
Exactly. And people want to say, you know, it's not all the ATF, and I do agree there are plenty of good agents out there, but, you know, the mainstream media spin is that these were just one or two guys who went out there, went rogue, and gave these guns to Mexican drug cartels. It was very much more well-connected than just a couple of guys.
Well, strange enough, John Dodson, we all know, he was the whistleblower. He had enough, you know. I mean, the government here didn't mind that they were killing thousands of Mexicans, but when one Border Patrol agent was killed, that, you know, John Dodson had enough, and he came forward. And today I met with the Consul General of Mexico and the Attorney General, Assistant Director of the Attorney General of Mexico for about 90 minutes downtown El Paso. And they're pretty PO'd at what happened. And I've given them my whole story, and they're going to file an official complaint.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that encounter, your recent encounter?
The Attorney General?
Yes.
Yeah, I was contacted that they wanted to speak to me. I guess they've never spoken to anybody before on the other side. They've heard the lies from the ATF and the government here, of course. And they were just amazed about the private sales, the straw purchase, how many firearms actually went to Mexico, how many times I was told to keep selling, with another gun dealer here in El Paso, by the way. And that gun dealer looked at me and said, well, if they tell us to keep selling, it must be okay. And he was just amazed. And he's got my whole story. They're going to get back to me. And this is going to go to the head office of Mexico, their highest department. So he tells me they're pretty PO'd at what happened. I mean, how the guns went to Mexico. They were very interested in how the trace information works. And he said, well, when you put the gun on the form and it goes out the door and that guy sells it privately, what happens then? I said, well, yeah, it's gone. He said, yeah, so it's gone. And how do you trace it? You can't. I mean, you know, they can go find that gun and go back to the original purchaser and say, hey, well, I sold it at a gun show 2 years ago, and that person sold it to someone else, someone else, someone else, and there's no trace information. I even asked the ATF about that. I said, well, that's pointless. They said, well, yeah, we can't do anything about it because that's legal. Okay, if my customers did that, what did I do wrong? What I did wrong was sell to these people that they knew were smuggling for 18 months and then try to make me a scapegoat, because it makes them look pretty bad with egg on their face when I was notifying 3 different departments, 3 different law enforcement departments.
Exactly. Exactly. And if nothing else, they have to say, well, we're not even paying attention to the paperwork that comes in.
Oh, God. You can't believe what happened. I had a guy steal 2 rifles. I found the guy. And
how did you find him?
Oh, yeah. This story is amazing. I mean, I swear to God, he had a temporary printout. from DMV, which I can take. He had a checkbook that matched, and he was doing the background check, so I'm kind of comfortable with that. 2 weeks later, check bounces. I go to that address, non-existent, phone's gone. I go to El Paso PD. They won't help me. I go to ATF. They don't want to do anything about it. It's just like, too bad, you lost the rifles. I go to Otero County Sheriff's Department. They put them on the database. I wouldn't let the thing go. I went down to DMV in Texas, and I asked them, I said, look, I need to speak to a trooper. A trooper came out, and guess what? He was my customer, one of my customers. I didn't know he was a trooper. So he says, come in the back here. And we went over the paperwork, all the ID information I had. He pulled the guy up. It was a white guy in Garland, Texas. The guy who stole from me was black. On the form, 4473, one of the things you have to mark down is race. So when I gave the white guy's details and said black, how did that not red flag?
That is a very much a red flag. I don't know how they...
And then it gets better. I wouldn't let it go. Finally, the ATF come around and asked me about it. I'm saying, oh, now you're interested after I'm doing all the footwork? A month later, I get a call from a guy who used to work with law enforcement in California. He says, did you lose two rifles, black guy, fake ID? I'm like, well, yeah. Well, there's a guy at my neighbor's right now, and the way they're talking about it, it has to be you. And I couldn't get over it. He says, don't worry, I'll see what I can do. A week later, he sends me a photo of the guy, his real name, a photo of his car with the license plate. I run down to the ATF. I'm like, okay, we got the guy. Get my rifles back. I hear nothing from him. I call the trooper. I had his personal cell phone. Nothing. I'm like, what the heck's going on? You know, this guy who was my witness said, did you call him? Because no one's called me. I'm like, well, no one's returning my call. A week later, I get this call at 11:30 at night. Hey, I can't tell you anything about this, but I've been told to drop the case. Click. It was a trooper.
Wow.
My buddy does some more investigation. The guy is a confidential informant with the U.S. Marshal Service.
The guy who gave you the fake ID?
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Swear to God. Swear to God. You only got my word on the phone here, but I swear to God. Yeah, it just gets better and better. And the marshals who transported me back from South Dakota, they walk into the airport, and I look at the guy and says, don't I know you? And he says, yeah, you know what? I might have bought a gun off you once or twice. He was one of my customers. I had a lot of law enforcement customers. He says to my face, we know you got screwed, dude. You weren't involved with those people. They even said on record during their interviews you had nothing to do with them, but they chose to prosecute you because you make them look so bad letting them sell guns for 18 months, especially when they had direct connections with Jamie Avila. They knew about these guys for years. So that's what we're trying to get, and I'm trying to get this overturned and justice for this.
Ian Garland, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
That's an incredible story, and I definitely encourage you to go to Ian's site, fastandfuriousjusticenow.org, for more details. And just how Ian is fighting this tyranny, resisting this tyranny, we have to do that as well. And maybe your thing isn't the ATF. Maybe it's the NSA. Maybe it's the TSA. This is the time to fight, and you can fight by getting involved with the contest, Resist the NSA and TSA Tyranny. You can get the cash prize of $10,000. Make sure you follow all the contest rules and get your submissions in on time. And also, if you like this broadcast and you'd like to see it continue, stop by PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 5-month free trial. That special going on right now, so get yours today. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
We're south of San Francisco, just a little bit south of Pillar Point Harbor at Surfers Beach, where the viral video was shot showing high radiation levels. So we're here at the bluffs. Let's see what these bluffs read out. So we have 60, went up to 72. 70. Now, the local newspapers here are reporting that a CPM of 30 is what's normal for this location. So we have 70 right now. Let's turn around to the black silt where the man in the video said he had very high readings and see what those read out. Walking towards the beach. This is the black silt area. As you can see, the meter is picking up speed here. We jump to 90, 104, 120, 128, 144, 162, still climbing, 194, 222, 240, 264. 262. 270. 284. 286. 292. And remember, they say 30 is what's normal for this location. So high radiation levels right here. So we're about 270, 276. So we're maxing out around 280 or so. And remember, 30 is what's normal for this location. Now they're disputing that this isn't the cesium-137. They're saying this is radium and other things that naturally occur in the environment. Whatever it is, it's abnormally high. And so we're going to be out here all week long, not just here in California, but driving all the way up the coast to see what the locals think about these situations and what they think it is. This is Jakari Jackson for InfoWars.com.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. We've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The K-Tor hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, third edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. Therosafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.
We're here due southwest of San Francisco on what the locals refer to as Surface Beach. Now, what brought us out here is that a citizen journalist came out here with his professional-grade Geiger counter and found radiation levels 10 times higher than what's normal for this area. Also, health officials came out here and found 1,400% higher than normal levels of radiation. Also, we ourselves found 13 times, that's 1,200% higher than normal levels of radiation. We are also using a professional-grade Geiger counter and the micro-REM system. Now, there's been essentially no media coverage of this. Of course, we here at InfoWars and also ThreatReport.com are covering this. But aside from a few local papers, nobody's talking about this very important issue. Why is there so much radiation? Is naturally occurring? Is it from Fukushima? What is the source of this? And we want to find out the source. That's why we've taken the initiative. We're going to be driving all the way up and down the west coast of the United States of America. We're going to stop at power plants. We're going to stop at beaches. We're going to find out what's really going on and what the source of this radiation is. You can tune in to PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com to get all the information you need to know about the radiation blackout.